in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 through, and then we're going to chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you." Chapter 7. "Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God." And then go to 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. It says, "Therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you." We're going to talk today about the call to separation. The call to separation. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask you, Jesus, to just speak in our hearts and minds, Lord, that we can be different. That we can be called out, Lord, that we can be set apart for you. Lord, help us in today to receive that into our spirit, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. The call to separation. There is a need for separation. There is a need to be set apart, different, unlike our surroundings. People need to recognize that you are different than they are. Amen. You ought not blend in with the world. You ought not. There ought to be a significant difference between you and the people you mingle with on a daily basis. Something ought to be in their mind. Something's different about you. Something's different about you. You're not on the same wavelength as we are. Milk, as it comes from a cow, contains cream. Anybody ever had cows growing up? You know, when it cools, it moves to the top and can be seen clearly as a slightly different shade of color from the milk. Today, we rarely get to see the cream on the top of the milk due to how they, you know, homogenize everything and do that process. But, you know, in the old way of hand milking the cow, there was a difference. There was definitely a change. Although homogenization of milk is beneficial, development of homogenization with the world is not. Old fashioned or not, God wants us to be separate from the world. Yeah. Amen. I'm okay. You call me old fashioned.
That's right.
Amen. Because the old ways are what's going to get us there. The old ways are going to keep us there, and the old ways are going to take us there. Amen. Hallelujah. Because my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. Amen. So his principles do not change either. The way that God calls us and wants us to act and be doesn't change. His mind is made up on certain things. From the literature to radio, from television to internet, from movies to the theater, there is an insidious attack upon the moral fiber of the family and upon the spiritual integrity of the church. These enemies have forged a formidable front that calls for true believers everywhere to stand steadfastly for Christ with the strongest possible spiritual resistance. We've got to stand for what is right. Amen? And not mingle and not become as they are. Amen? Amen. It gets into my spirit when I see you know, the church as a whole. You know, the shirt pulled out and just, you know, relax, pull the tie off and just, you know, the relax mentality. And just let your hair down kind of thing. You know, mess it up a little bit and just come out on stage and just, you know. That speaks to me of being like everybody else. So that you can relate to them, so that you can, you know, be like them. I've never seen God do anything and become like them to do it. God goes the extreme in the opposite direction. When God wants something to happen, amen, he does it and it's a miracle. Amen. We need to understand that God's in the business of ministering and touching lives and changing lives. So we just need to understand that his ways are better than my ways. His thoughts are better than my thoughts. So if I can just start following him and being more like him, then I will have some great things begin to happen in my life. But so many times we want to become like others. We want to get close to the feel that will cause someone else to like me. So there is a need for discipline. Only by discipline can we remain separate from the world around us. The world tugs on us daily to be like them. Buy this, do this, and you'll look more like us if you dye your hair this way, if you color your whatever, you'll be more like us and we'll fit in, we'll feel more comfortable around you. Amen. And I don't believe that. There are two sources of power and strength that we need to call upon to live separated lives from the world. His power and willpower. Amen. We got to trust in his power and we got to have willpower. God will help us. God will strengthen us. God will give us what we need. But we have to stand for righteousness. We have to stand for holiness. And we need to understand that it will slip in the least little bitty ways in your own life. Amen. Interestingly, we cannot depend exclusively on either of these sources of strength. If we try to depend only on strength of the Lord to live separated life, we will eventually fail due to the absence of discipline. And on the other hand, if we try to live Christian lives without the power of Jesus Christ, we are vulnerable to failure. Amen. We need both. The only winning combination involves the combination of these two powers. God in us. Working alongside of us. Amen. God moving and directing us and blessing and helping us. Amen. That means my submittedness to him and his, amen, intermingling in our lives. Amen. We become a strong cord that cannot quickly be broken. We can't do it on our own. Amen. We have to walk and trust in the living God to direct our lives. So we've benefited by separation. Even if God did not command separation from the world, it still would be beneficial to live a separated life. 1 Timothy 4:8. It says, for physical training is of some value, but godlessness and value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. We benefit when we live different from others. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:6. It says, but godlessness with contentment is great gain. So there is a plea from the heart. And through this is Paul, in Paul's writing, one might also hear the voice of the Lord in these words. In 2 Corinthians 6:11-13, it says, we have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affections from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to my children, open wide your hearts also. So the plea, there's a plea for closeness. We, in 2 Corinthians 6:12, it says, we are not withholding our affections from you, but you are withholding yours from us. It is obvious in that Paul was pleading for the Christians to draw closer to him. Amen. Something had caused a breach in their relationship, and probably it was their improper association with the world. That little piece that deep down in the heart that says, I don't want to give that up. Because if I do, then I don't have that connection that I have with my friends in the world. And I will be looked down upon. I will be thought of differently in my life. So Matthew 6:24, it says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't live two lives. Amen. You might fool the people around you. You might fool family. You might fool, you know, but you're not fooling God. Amen. God sees the deep things of the heart. Amen. He knows what kind of person you really are. He knows what kind of person I really am. Amen. You're not fooling him. So why try to fool everybody else? Amen. Because when this thing closes, and when all life, and you're laid out before the people that you tried to fool all this time, amen, you're going to face him. The one that knows who you are. The one that knows the attitudes that are deep within you. The one that sees how you've treated those close to you. Amen. He knows who you are. And he is trying to help you today to realize that I can't live two lives in this life. I have to live one or the other. Amen. There has to be a difference in me. Something has to break. Something has to change. Something has to give loose and way to the ways of God in our lives. 2 Corinthians 6:12 says, we are not withholding our affections from you, but you are withholding yours from us. The apostle was clear that the problem of a lack of closeness was not a result of his feeling for them, but of their feelings for him. That is the same in our relationships with the Lord. He doesn't withhold affection from us. We withhold it from him. God, if you don't give me this, then I want this. Amen. We can't play tug of war with God. Amen. God loved us while we were sinning. He hasn't changed. He still loves you right now in your difference. Amen. And he's pleading, he's begging you to wake up to the deep things in your life. Root out those things that are causing you to do and say the things that you're saying and be the person that you are. Don't try to fool everyone. Paul yearned for a relationship with the Corinthians that was from the heart. And Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees for the same lack of true affection. Matthew 15, 7 through 8. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Where is your heart today? Is your heart 100% totally surrendered to Jesus Christ and his ways? Not the ways of this world, not the thought processes, and not the things that this world has, you know, sifted into the church, but God's ways. Is your heart, is your mind, is your being totally in submission to God? There is a plea for separation. We've got to be set apart. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not, no unclean thing, and I will receive you. We have to rid ourselves of things that are not clean. Attitudes. Spirits that try to take control. Spirits that may attach themselves to us. We have to be careful to rid ourselves of anything that is unclean in our spirit, in our attitude. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The new creation has come and the old has gone. The new is here. Amen. We have to get rid of the old me. Amen. The old prideful me. The one that wants to stand with its head held high and say that I can do no wrong. I. And pick up the God in me and begin to say, he. If it wasn't for him, I could do nothing. Amen. We need God to be Lord of our lives. Amen. I cannot stand here today if it wasn't for the Lord. Amen. If it wasn't for what he did for me, I could not stand before any of us here today because of his righteousness, because of his goodness. Amen. I am made righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. I am nothing before God. But he is everything, and I must lift him up in my life, so that my relationships with others can be lifted up. Amen. Jesus attracted sinners because he was different. Not because he was buddies with them. He didn't go hanging out with them. Amen. Amen. Every time Jesus got together with someone that was exalting themselves, amen, he didn't say words that made them want to sit down and have tea tomorrow. He spoke directly to them. Amen. Things that weren't on the outside, he saw what was on the inside, and he spoke those things directly to them. And those that wanted to change were willing to lay it aside, turn and follow him. Amen. Don't be fooled by the world saying that you have to be relevant so that we can draw people to Christ. That's a lie. That's the devil trying to get into our minds to allow us to just reside with the things of the world. Amen. We need to set apart, be different. That draws people to Christ. Amen. If you don't believe that, just wait till worship service and see who's dancing and shouting around the room and praising the Lord with the whole heart. Amen. You'll find yourself by yourself, because that's what draws God. And it's pride that keeps you from doing those things. It's pride saying, well, I don't want others to think this or that of me. It's pride in your life because you don't want to obey the word of God. You don't want to follow his ways, and you don't want to draw his presence by doing those things. But Jesus was one that just said it like it is. It's foolish people who feel they have to lower their standard to attract people. Amen. If I have two people in this sanctuary till Jesus comes, amen, because the world is expecting me to drop my standard, to lower it so that they could come in, I'm sorry. I'm going to continue walking the way I feel God is drawing us to walk. Amen. And keep the standard that God has put before us. A sinful woman was attracted to Jesus because he was different. Luke 7, 37 through 39. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. And when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. God's people have always been a separate people. Amen. God is never fooled. Amen. He knows who's in this room right now. Amen. He knows your thoughts right now. What's going on in the realms of your mind right now. And he knows what's being poured out of you towards him. Amen. You won't fool him. Daniel 1:8 says, and then verse 15, it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief officials for permission not to defile himself this way. And in verse 15, at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So we see now that Daniel had totally separated himself from his surroundings to consecrate himself to the things of God. And by this example, we can see that at the end of it, he was far better than anybody else. Amen. Separation matters. Amen. Setting oneself apart for the purpose and plan of God really matters to God. In Daniel 6:10. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God just as he had done before. No one else in the kingdom prayed but Daniel. Daniel was consistent. Every day he bowed himself before God and prayed and talked with God. It made the difference. Amen. Being different makes the difference. Amen. Prayer makes a difference. The three Hebrew children in Daniel 3:13 through 18. Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summons the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of God I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, cether, lyre, harp, pipe, and all the kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And if he will deliver us from your majesty's, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Something was on the inside of these young boys, these young men, that was determined. It did not matter if they perished. They were going to set themselves apart from the rest in that kingdom. And their minds were made up. The fire proved that they were different. Amen? They went on through with the process. They stood there while everybody else bowed their knee to the world's way, to the sounds of the world, to what pleased the kings of the world. But they stood strong and pleased the Lord. And the fire came. And the fire proved that their God was with them. Their God was on their side. Amen. Fire is going to to produce what's in you. The scum is going to come to the top. Amen? And when the heat is on, when the fire is burning, it's going to expose who you really are. Will you bow or will you stand? God, let me get close to the fire to where I won't fear it. Amen? To where I can go through it. Amen? Don't ever fear fire, because God is trying to expose who you are. Amen? It may seem like hell is all around you and everything around you you're trying to do is not working out, but I'm here to tell you today that it's the fire of God trying to reveal just who you are. And his fire will. Amen? You can't hide from the fire of Almighty God. Amen? He always reveals the inward parts. He always reveals the hidden things. We must consistently keep our lives in the burning fire of Jesus Christ. Separation goes beyond the heart. Amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." You are the living place where God dwells. Your body is the temple of his Spirit. Amen. Don't defile the temple. Separation in the heart leads to outward expression of masculinity and femininity as defined by God. So Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." Amen. God defines who we are. Amen. It doesn't matter what everyone else feels that we ought to accept. There is no differentiation between God. He says one or the other. You either have it or you don't. It's black or white. Deuteronomy 22:5 says, "A woman must not wear men's clothing, nor a man wear woman's clothing. For the Lord your God detests anyone who does this." So don't wait until your little girls are teenagers to try to implement principles. Amen? These teachings should be made from the very beginning. Amen? We never allowed our children, even when they were going to bed, to put on pants or sweatpants to go to bed. We wanted to make sure our daughter knew she was a girl. And she always dressed like a girl. Not when nobody else seen her. So we built within her the beliefs that God has in his word that there is something about separation that is important. Brother Pritt.
God.
So it's important, separation. Amen. We teach, we train from a very young age who we are, how to define what type of person you are. Amen. It's my job, it's our job as men and women to train and to help people to understand their differences and separation to God. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "For what do righteousness do not be rebuked together for unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" So I don't, in raising our daughter, we didn't allow it to get warmed up to her. We made a clear, distinct difference that you were separate. You were set apart. These things do not please God. Even though it's comfortable, it helps you sleep, God doesn't want it, and it's pleasing to Him if we don't do it. Amen? So that principle can go in many directions in our lives. Dealing with hair and makeup and jewelry and all of those things. If it pleases God, do it. If it doesn't, get away from it. Remove yourselves from it. Amen. Find where you're separate. What is the world doing? Don't do that. Amen. Don't do what the world is doing, and you'll please God because you're separating. You're coming out from among them. You're removing your lifestyle from theirs. Amen. And you're setting yourself apart for God. You're being pleasing to Him. And God will draw people to you because of who you are and what you are. Amen. Let's stand. I'm way past. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we are changed and we're set apart, God, and that You've come into us and helped us, Lord, to be more like You, Lord, that we can draw others to this great salvation and miracles and signs and wonders that come out of being where You are. We ask You, Lord, to just bless and help us to receive this into our spirit, Lord God, and just allow it to work in our spirit, Lord. Help us to search our hearts and just see if there's anything that I have that's not seen of others, but is down deep in the crevices of my life that I'm just not right, and get that out and be separated wholly unto You. We praise You. Thank You for Your word today. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Take some time and